Acts chapter 1, verses 12 and 26. This is the word of the Lord. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. And said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. This man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness. And falling headlong, the purse opened in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldamah, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they went forward too. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. The book of Acts is the story of the church. But the story of the church does not begin with the book of Acts. We may say that the story of the church is as old as the story of marriage. For the two becoming one flesh was the mystery of Christ and the church. The story of the church then begins in the Old Testament. The story of the church is the story of marriage. But it is also the story of the Exodus. It was in the Exodus that the Lord visited his people. It was in the Exodus that he delivered them, that they might worship him. It was in the Exodus that he descended from heaven to dwell with them. It was in the Exodus that he brought them to the land of promise. The book of Acts, then, as the story of the church, is the story of a new Exodus. As with the first Exodus, it is a story of the Lord visiting his people. It is a story of deliverance. It is a story of worship. It is a story of the dwelling place of God with man. It is a story of entrance into the kingdom of glory. As we have worked our way through Acts chapter 1, we have noted various allusions to the Exodus. One of those being Jesus appearing to the apostles during 40 days, giving them commands and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And this reminded us of the 40 days during which the Lord appeared to Moses on Mount Sinai, where the Lord gave him commands, where the Lord spoke to him about the rule of his kingdom. Another allusion to the Exodus that we noted was Jesus eating with the apostles and their gazing into heaven as he ascended on a cloud. This reminded us of the priests and the elders ascending the mountain of Sinai to gaze into heaven, to behold God there, and to eat before him. In his narrative, Luke is helping us to understand that the story of the church in Acts is the story of a new Exodus. And if the story of the first Exodus ends in God with us, then the story of the new Exodus must end there as well. Which is why Christ ascended into heaven. For our end is in him. He is there for us, that he might be there with us, and we with him. However, as we come to the end of this first chapter in the book of Acts, we do not find the church with Christ. We find Christ in heaven. Where do we find the church? We find the church on earth. Verse 13. We find the church gathered together. The apostles, the women who followed Christ, Mary, the mother of our Lord,
and his brothers.
We find them gathered together, devoting themselves to prayer. This is something we will see throughout the book of Acts. We'll see that where the church is gathered, prayer is to be offered. Where the church is gathered, prayer is to be offered. We see the church gathered. We see that prayer is offered. But what were they praying? It does not say. But we need not guess the content of their praying. For what had they been taught to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This is what the church had been taught to pray. But what did it mean for them to pray in this way? How may we summarize this summary of prayer? For what were they praying? For what else but the presence of Christ? This is a prayer that he will soon answer. Not by his coming again in glory, but by the sending of his glory, by the sending of the Spirit. The sending of the Spirit is the sending of his presence. For the Spirit is his Spirit. Spirit of the Father is the Spirit of the Son. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. Where the Spirit is, there Christ is. And where Christ is, there the church is. Now there is much to say about the church as we find it in Acts chapter 1. But we find here all that the creed attributes to the church. We find here one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. It is one as it is gathered together. It is holy by the blessing of the Spirit. It is Catholic as it is sent to the ends of the earth. It is apostolic as it rests upon their witness. There is much to be said about these things. And not only these things, but also the fate of Judas and the meaning of apostleship. But for this evening, we want to focus our attention on the church's identity as the new Israel. For if Israel was born of the Exodus, then a new Israel is born of the new Exodus. We see the church as a new Israel in the appointing of a new apostle to take the place of Judas. And there are two questions that we must ask in this regard. If we are to understand the way in which the church is being revealed to us as a new Israel, the first question is this: why was it necessary that another take the place of Judas? And the second question is this: why was he chosen by Lot? Now, concerning the first question, why was it necessary for another to take the place of Judas? We may begin our answer by recognizing that this was in fulfillment of Scripture. Not only was Judas' betrayal of the Lord in fulfillment of the Scripture, but another taking his place was in fulfillment of Scripture. This is why Peter says in Acts chapter 1, verse 20, "For it is written, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let another take his office." How does Peter understand this scripture? How does Peter interpret this scripture? Verse 22. "One of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." It is important that we see another's taking the place of Judas was not optional. Another's taking the place of Judas was necessary. It was a fulfillment of Scripture. Another was to take his place that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. But while we may recognize that it was necessary that another take his place, it may not still be clear to us why it was important. Why was it important that another take his place? We would understand its importance. We must remember the number of the apostles. What was their number? Their number at first was 12. With the death of Judas, the number was now 11. It was important that another take the place of Judas in order that there be 12 apostles. Why was that important? It was important that there be 12 apostles of the church
because there were 12 tribes of Israel. And as there were 12 tribes at Mount Sinai, in the same way it was necessary that there be 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost. For just as Israel was baptized into the old covenant at Sinai, so the church will be baptized into the new covenant at Pentecost. Now, this is one reason why we may object to those who say that the church was wrong to appoint an apostle in Acts chapter 1. Those who would say that the church was to wait for God's appointing of Paul, that he might be the 12th apostle. While some of this argument seems to be directed against the church's using of lots, they miss this fact, that it was not only important that there be 12 apostles, but that there be 12 apostles on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was to be poured out upon the church. For it is at Pentecost that we see the church as the new Israel of God. But do not misunderstand what we are saying. And speaking of the church as the new Israel, we do not mean the rejection of Israel in favor of the church. And speaking, rather, of the church as the new Israel, we are affirming the unity of Israel with the church. That same unity that binds the Old Testament to the New. That same unity that binds the New Testament to the Old. That unity that allows us to speak of both Testaments as Christian scripture, because both are one in Christ. For this reason, we may say that Israel was the church under the old covenant. We may say that the church is Israel under the new covenant. They are not two different peoples. They are one, because Christ is one. There is one people, just as Christ is one body. Is this not why the church in glory, the new Jerusalem, has inscribed on its gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel, and on its foundations the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb? Israel was the church of old, and the church is the new Israel. Is it a coincidence that in Acts chapter 1, the company of persons was in all about 120. 120 persons, a multiple of 12. We are to see in the company of the church the tribes of Israel. 12 apostles for 12 sons. 12 apostles for 12 tribes. Now this brings us to our second question. Why was Matthias chosen by lot? Was it to make Presbyterians anxious? But if not that, then what? Why was he chosen by lot? Remember again the Exodus. What was its end? Ended in the land of promise. And how was that land divided among the tribes? Joshua chapter 19, verse 51. These are the inheritances that Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel distributed by lot at Shiloh before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. The land of promise was given by lot. Israel's inheritance was distributed by the casting of lots. And so the casting of lots here in Acts chapter 1, for another to take the place of Judas, it is yet another way in which we see the story of the church as the story of a new Exodus, as the story of a new Israel. But even as we note the similarities between the two, we must not neglect the difference. Notice the difference between what is given to the 12 tribes and what is given to the 12 apostles. No land is given to the apostles. No land is given to the church. Indeed, we will soon see the church selling its portion in the land of promise. No land is given. But what is given? The Spirit is given. In the book of Acts, the church, as the new Israel, does not receive the land of promise, but it does receive the Spirit of promise, the guarantee of its inheritance. What then shall we say? There is no promised land for the church in this world. But there is a promised Spirit, an inheritance far greater. And there is no kingdom for the church on earth except the church itself, which is a kingdom far greater. Church is the kingdom of Christ.
this world. How then shall we live? If we would enter the kingdom, let us enter the church. Here, Christ is for us. Here, the Spirit is upon us. Here, God is with us. Here is the end of our exodus. Here is the beginning of glory. Christ has formed them. The Spirit is upon them. May God be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord in heaven, we ask your blessing upon this word. We might see ourselves rightly as the new Israel of God. Lord, we pray that you keep us from worrying over an inheritance of this world. We pray that you bless us with joy and our inheritance in heaven. We pray that you would bring us here quickly. And so we ask that your Son would come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus.